Good morning, Colorado. Here we go. Y'all ready for this? The Bell and Pollock Legal Show. We're here for you. What's on your mind today? You can give us a call on any legal subject that you want. We are injury attorneys, but we're here to give you the show, and we're here to talk law. This is a law talk show, not a political show. Any legal subject you want to talk about, divorces, estates, land deals, surveys, titles, boundaries, it doesn't matter. If you want to talk about injury subjects, we're glad to do that too. In our day lives, we're injury attorneys, and our radio lives here, we're here for you. Our telephone number is 303-713-8255. That's 713-8255. Let's wake up. Let's get that legal coffee, that legal bagel. We're ready to go. In the mountains, you can call us at 970-457-1009. That's 457-1009. And everywhere else, you can call us at 303-713-8255. Hit and run. You know we have a book out. You can have a copy of the book. It's free. If you want a hard copy of the book, you can call us right here in the studio at 713-8255. Tell Kevin, give Kevin your information. We'll mail you a hard copy. It's free. It's mandatory. You have to have this. Cowards of the Street, Hit and Run is our book. And in the last half of the book, as I've said, it has step-by-step procedures with picture examples and arrows to tell you exactly what to do on your own car insurance policy, how to protect yourself right now, today, and hope that an incident like this never happens. But also, if you're hitting by hit-and-run driver, it's horrible. It's devastating. They're gone. They are cowards of the street, and that's exactly what we called them in our book. People are hurt. They're maimed. They're killed. And, you know, there's all kinds of good tips in there. If you're in a hit-and-run situation, do you just call the police later? I mean, there's nobody around. There's no witnesses. The person that hit you is gone. No, you call them right then, and we tell you exactly why. What kind of insurance coverage do you need? The last half of the book is dedicated to that. How do you do this? We'll show you declaration pages of different policies. We show you the language. We explain it to you. So if you want to download our book, it's free on our website, championsofthepeople.com. You can download an ebook, or you can call us right here and we'll send you a hard copy. And our other book entitled Don't Get Hurt in the Same Accident Twice, once in the accident and again on the insurance claim. Think about that. Don't get hurt in the same accident twice. And it gives you all kinds of tips, especially myths in the insurance industry, myths in the car accident business industry, such as, you know, if I'm injured and I get hit by another party, surely the insurance company will pay me, right? Surely they'll be fair to me, right? Surely I'll be okay because I'm the victim. I'm the one that got injured. The person who hit me walked away. They're okay, but I'm not. You need the book. You can download that one free on our website also. championsofthepeople.com. Speaking of which, it's an information-loaded website. All right, we're going to talk a lot with Robert now. Good morning, Robert. Welcome to Bell and Pollock.
Yeah, good morning. How you guys?
Hey, what's cooking?
Let's say you're visiting as a tourist in another state. You don't have an address in that state. You're just visiting, and you get a ticket or a misdemeanor, and they give you community service for the time you're there. I mean, you get heard right away. What's to keep you from not complying? I mean, just go back to Colorado or wherever you came, and how much chasing do they do? I mean, how much kind of compliance is there between states?
Well, in the old days, you could probably just absolutely get away with it. And these days, states usually have a sharing arrangement where they share that. But the ticket is important that you strictly construe it, because if you violate the laws of Nebraska or California while you're driving there, does that constitute points on your license in Colorado? And you have to look at the specific violation and the specific statute as to what constitutes points in Colorado. Bottom line is, you better not ever go to that state again. If you don't show up for a court appearance, they issue a bench warrant for your arrest. And so you're taking a big chance in not doing that. But if you come back to Colorado, you know, it's almost like that where you get a photo ticket. They've got to serve you, but they probably did serve you in that state. And then we have the constitutional issue of the full faith and credit clause of the United States Constitution, which means each state's give full faith and credit to a judgment in another state. So It's a complicated question. It's almost state by state.
Yeah, that happened 20 years ago with a parking ticket, and it's incredible. They just they transferred it to another state for a parking ticket. Can you believe that?
Well, yes, I can. So the bottom line there is just take care of it. Don't take a chance.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you don't want any kind of bench warrant out for your arrest because the databases are now different, as we all know, as they were different than they were 15 years ago. So they get on their computer, they figure these things out, they detain you, and off you go to the Crossbars Motel.
Yeah, and then it gets complicated, right?
Then it gets complicated from there. So, you just better take care of it as it goes. But that's a great question. We appreciate it.
Yeah, keep up the good work. I love your show.
Okay, Robert, thanks a lot.
Bye.
Okay, Gary Bell and Ryan Wengler of Bell & Pollock, he's here. Brad's not here today. You can give us a call at 303-713-8255. We're going to talk to Rodeo Doc right now. Good morning, Rodeo Doc. How are you?
Well, good morning, gentlemen. How y'all doing?
Good. How you all doing?
I'm doing awesome in the snow-covered red rocks of Larkspur.
Snow-covered red rocks of Larkspur. All right. What's happening today, Rodeo Doc?
Well, today's the second day of the National Finals Rodeo, and I wish I were there.
Exactly. I tell you what. I mean, you treat the rodeo guys, you treat the rodeo stars, don't you?
Yes, I do, and it's been a great deal of fun over the years.
You know what I think? A lot of those cowboys, cowgirls are, they're very, very tough people, but they still get injured. They still need your kind of treatment.
They absolutely do, and, the funny thing is, how tough this sport is, how tough that sport is. But I'll tell you what, there's no injured reserve in rodeo.
That's a good point. No injured reserve. You just got to show up, right?
That's it.
Hey, Rodeo Doc, you ever ridden a Brahma bull?
No, I fix the people who do.
Exactly. Exactly.
I've got a question. I had a patient call in this week and cancel all of her appointments. Her carrier had told her that if she continues to treat with our office and not see their chiropractor, that they would not pay for her care at our office. Now, I believe they're lying to her. Is that correct?
Absolutely. And that deals with MedPay, which we did a show on. And you know, Ryan, we were talking about that. Let's mention a little bit about MedPay, and they have to pay the doctors the reasonable necessary charges.
Sure. After an accident, if you've got that MedPay coverage, then the insurance company has to pay, and the minimum in Colorado is $5,000. So they have to pay the first $5,000, unless when you signed up for your insurance, you signed away, you said, no, I don't want that coverage.
But, Rodeo Doc, what you're saying is the insurance company says that this lady has to treat with their chiropractor.
With their chiropractor. Now, I think this is probably the third party, if I remember right.
Well, that's even worse.
Yeah.
I mean,
I'm pretty sure this is just another case of insurance company, I don't know if I can use the term fraud, but they have intimidated her to the point of where she's canceled her appointments. And, of course, if she goes to see their doctor, she'll get treated, but he'll be treating the finances and not the patient.
That's an incredible way to put it, treating the finances and not the patient. So that's not true. It is a lie.
Yeah.
She doesn't have to go to their doctor, their chiropractor. She doesn't have to do that. And especially if it's the insurance company for the at-fault party, the one who caused the accident, they have no say over what doctors or treatment you get.
Yeah, I was pretty sure of that, but I just wanted to take a moment and verify it with you guys. And one of my comments was, in this case, it's proof that you need your MedPay. Get it? Don't take the $5,000. That's a trip to the hospital and an MRI. You need $25,000 at least.
At least. Boy, that is advice well taken. And just ask your insurance company what amount they sell, the highest amount, and if you can afford it, buy it.
You bet.
Thanks, Rodeo Doc.
You bet. You have a blessed weekend.
All right, same to you. You're listening to the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. Ryan Wengler of Bell and Pollock, and I'm here for you in our day lives. We're injury attorneys. In our radio lives, we're here to answer your questions on any legal subject. 303-713-8255. We are your champions of the people. Wayne, welcome back to the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. Gary Bell, Ryan Wengler of Bell and Pollock, we're here for you. We are injury attorneys, and we bring the show to you to answer your questions, solve your problems on any legal subject. And welcome KHOW, KRDO in Colorado Springs, KKZN, and KEZZ 94.1 FM Steamboat Springs. We're ready to go for you, and right now we're ready to go for Clayton. Good morning, Clayton. Welcome to Bell and Pollock.
Good morning. Thank you for your program. I have a question with regard to standing. I often hear someone speak about standing. What determines whether a person has standing if they're an entity or an individual?
Okay, so that's a very good question because there's a long line of cases in this country on standing and, quote, ripeness. Those are weird words, but standing basically means that you have a legal basis to be in court. And there were some old cases in the United States Supreme Court dealing with the Sierra Club because they wanted forests and trees and stones and rocks and mountains to have standing by themselves. And so, standing is an interesting concept. Ryan, what do you think?
Sure. With standing, you have to have sufficient connection to whatever harm that was done that's the basis of the action. So, for instance, you were talking about the Sierra Club. The problem there was they were tearing up, I believe it was federal land, and the Sierra Club wanted to come in and sue them to keep them from doing that. And the court basically had to stand back and say, does the Sierra Club, who doesn't have necessarily a direct connection to this land, do they have proper standing for preventing this road or whatever it was that they were putting through that land?
Right. And so, Clayton, and that's a great question because let's say you're in a car accident, obviously you're injured, you have standing to sue, you have standing to make a claim. If you have a land dispute, you're one of the owners, you have standing because you're one of the owners. If you're involved in an estate, you're an heir of the estate, you got standing to bring there, to go there. But then it gets a little bit fuzzier, and the big famous cases were the Sierra Club. Are we answering your questions, basically?
Yes, I guess I don't want to turn this into a political question, but we have a couple of states that are suing Colorado with regard to the marijuana law.
Correct.
Now, do they have standing to do that?
Okay, that is a great legal question because in the United States Supreme Court and the Constitution, the United States Supreme Court has original jurisdiction of, quote, disputes between the states, okay? And so a state has standing to exercise and enforce what's called their legal rights. But, boy, does that get fuzzy because, they sued the state of Colorado. And what's fascinating as a sidebar to your question is when the United States Supreme Court has original jurisdiction, that means they're the trial court. That's like a district court down in Arapahoe or Adams County or Durango or any state. It's like the trial judge. And nowhere do those justices, they're the last court of appeals, nowhere do those justices really engage in trials. And so what they do under the Constitution is they either appoint a master, basically, have the trial and review it, and that's how they approach it, because no other court, in disputes between states, no other court basically has the standing like the Supreme Court does. They can't handle certain issues, but what a great question, because so far they've ruled that they do have standing.
So is that suit being filed in federal court, or is it being filed in a local court, a county court?
Well, I think excuse me. So when they have original jurisdiction, I think it originates in the United States Supreme Court. Now they do file the cases in district court to get them going, and that's where they start.
And of course, they haven't been decided in district court, so they can't go any further than that at this point.
At this point, and that's on some. That's a very complicated question, but that's on some of the legal issues, because some of them have to, quote, originate in the United States Supreme Court. And everybody thinks, yes, Supreme Court's the ultimate court of appeals, and it is. But in this, with disputes between states, that's kind of how it works.
Okay, well, thank you very much. You have a great day, guys.
Clayton, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Bell and Pollock Legal Show. You know, Ryan, that was a great, great question.
Yeah, it was. When we're talking about standing in this particular instance, the states that are suing Colorado are claiming that there's a harm to them because of the law in our state. So it becomes that essential question. Is there, are they close enough to the problem?
Right. And so in lawyer talk, legal talk, it's called, is there a sufficient nexus, meaning is there a sufficient connection, relationship between the harm, the party, and the party suing and the party getting sued? And it would, between two states, I mean, I think Nebraska's upset. I mean, every Colorado driver's profiled when they leave the state because they think we all have marijuana. Legal in Colorado, but not legal in Texas, not legal in New Mexico, not legal in Nebraska. So we are just going to pull you over and profile you. But that's the point, right? Then maybe the state of Nebraska says we are being harmed. We have a sufficient nexus. We have a sufficient connection, right?
Right. I guess their argument is, you know, when that drug crosses the state, then their citizens are being harmed by having that illegal substance, illegal in their state.
Well, then says they say that it costs some money. They've got to have more law enforcement. They've got to process it. They have a court involvement, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, Clayton was right. You know, he wasn't one trying to ask a political, but maybe some of it is politics. But we don't talk politics on this show. But maybe politically they don't believe in the legalization of marijuana, and so they're going to do something about it. And one of the things they're going to claim that they have to spend a lot of money.
That's exactly right.
Right. So standing is a great question. And there's a lot of nice United States Supreme Court cases and other cases on, quote, standing. And ripeness is a question ripe for judicial review. Is it ripe to be handled by the courts? And, boy, were we talking law this morning. We're going to talk law with Mike. Good morning, Mike. Welcome to Bell and Pollock.
How are you this morning?
Wonderful. How are you?
I'm very good. I've called before on questions regarding non-compete clauses.
Yeah.
And I believe that in Colorado, unless you have true intellectual property or business practices that aren't practiced by somebody else, you can hold somebody to it. I'm involved in the trade, so I don't believe unless I go directly after clients, they can say I cannot perform work or open a business in contract. But my question surrounding that is, I've come in from out of the field, and I negotiated salary, but they did not have me re-sign a non-compete clause. Considering the fact that the non-compete clause is technically, I won't say null and void, I know that there are limitations to it, but they can't tell me I can't practice my trade on my own or with another company for 2 years. But don't they need to, in order to try and enforce that, have me re-sign it? Because signing a contract under salary basically re-signs your original contract with that company.
Okay, well, and Ryan's going to jump in here in a minute. But basically, what you just asked is what lawyers call a fact-intensive investigation, a fact-intensive, quote, question. And why is that so? Because it has to do... You have a timeline, you've got contracts, one contract, and then they extend it. And so does that, the question is, does that other contract cover this situation? And so I hate to give you the lawyer dodge, but a lot of it depends on the language. What does the contract say? You know, on the first situation, does it spill over? Is there a provision, a paragraph that makes it spill over? Ryan, what's your take on this?
Well, we know that in Colorado, the general law is does not favor the non-compete clause, and there has to be certain parameters on any non-compete clause in a contract. You know, you have to have the scope to be both temporal and geographic. And what that means is temporal is time. Now, you said that yours had a two-year time limit. It also has to be geographic, so they have to give a reasonable area within which the non-compete clause is effective.
Well, the other thing, Mike, is that, you know, in Colorado, you can have non-compete clauses, you know, basically to protect trade secrets, you know, or maybe selling or purchasing a business, executives, officers, managers of a company. But it has to be reasonable. So let's use an example real quick. There was an old famous case with a dentist out of Boulder, entered into a non-compete, then wanted to compete. So what Ryan just said is true. It's got to be reasonable as to time, temporal time. It has to be reasonable as to geographical boundaries. So if a dentist only practices in a county, like Boulder County, can you leave and go to Denver? Or can you go to Durango or Steamboat Springs and practice? Because that's in a different geographical area and doesn't affect the Boulder dentist. Another example would be, in the old days they called it a Big Eight accounting firm, which has a national practice. And therefore, if you leave Chicago, can you go to L.A. and practice? Because it's a national practice, and you might be affecting us and competing. So that's a good. Those are good examples of geographical time and distance. Are we hopefully answering your questions? I hope.
Yes, the geographical, if I remember correct, because I don't have it, was like 300 miles. There are absolutely no trade secrets. It's contracting.
Right.
To the best of my knowledge, if I went up to the company's client and said, I'm leaving, come with me, that would be one thing. That would be a definite breach.
Right.
But if I tell them, hey, look, service, he will provide all your services. Should he not be able to and you wish to call me, that's another one because I'm not outright seeking that client.
Right.
The 2 years was, I just basically, if you read the verbiage of, and it wasn't really a contract, it was just signing upon being hired.
Right.
If you leave under bad terms, basically the verbiage was, you can't work in your trade for 2 years if I throw a fit.
Yeah, bottom line, it has to be reasonable in time, it has to be reasonable in geographic, and it has to be a reasonable scope of business activities. Hey, Mike, thanks for the call, man.
Thank you.
All right, appreciate it. The Bell and Pollock Legal Show. Gary Bell, Ryan Wengler of Bell and Pollock. We're here for you. We are injury attorneys in our day lives, but we're ready to talk law with you because this is a law talk show. Bell and Pollock, we are your champions of the people. Welcome back to the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. I'm Gary Bell, along with Ryan Wengler of our law firm. We're here for you. You can call us at 303-713-8255. We have shows airing tomorrow morning at 7:30 on many stations and up in the mountains. We cover MedPay, and you would be surprised at what you don't know about MedPay. You would be surprised at those shows and how the ins and outs of that situation. So don't miss those shows. Also, don't forget about our books. If you got a hit and run, we've got Cowards of the Street hit and run right now. Join us live is Eric from Caitlin's. Good morning, Eric.
Good morning. How you doing today?
Good. What's cooking, so to speak?
All right. We got some specials to run by you for the week. We're on our last week of our breakfast special. That is the sweet battered French toast that comes with fresh strawberries and powdered sugar on top. Running that for one more week for the breakfast special. And our lunch special is going to be a ranch-dusted chicken and bacon wrap. That's going to come in a 10-inch flour tortilla. We're going to load that down with shredded lettuce and diced tomatoes. And don't forget, you can add our homemade chips or our waffle fries for only a dollar more to that plate. So keep that in mind when you're ordering that. And then don't forget, on Mondays and Fridays from 11 to 2, it's all-you-can-eat taco and burrito buffet. It's all-you-can-eat. It's only $7.99. That actually includes a non-alcoholic beverage in the price. So come on and check that out. That's getting busier and busier every week. And as always, we've got bottomless mimosas for $10. All you got to do is order an entree. You get bottomless mimosas for $10. Hang out. Have some time with the family. Hang out. Have a good time at Caitlin's restaurant.
You're always talking about this powdered sugar and these cinnamon rolled French toast. You know what I mean?
French toast. Yeah, we have that too.
You never deliver anything to the studio. Where are you located, Eric?
I'm at 4379 East Mississippi Avenue. That's one block east of Colorado Boulevard, and that's in the Glendale Shopping Center.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Caitlin's Restaurant. You love it every bite of the way. Don't forget about our books, Cowards of the Street, Hit and Run. You can call Kevin right now at 303-713-8255. You can order our books. They're free. It's a no-brainer. And listen, I've said before, if you want my own deck sheet for my own car insurance policy to see what I do, you're welcome to it. I'll give it to you. I've done it before. I've done it many times. People call our law firm and they want it. You can see how much I've got for MedPay, what I do on UIM, what I do on UM, how important I think this is, that we just don't talk and talk and talk. We mean what we say. You've got to do these things. And this book, Cowards of the Street, it deals with hit and run because the driver left, but also it applies equally well to if you're in an accident and the other driver has no insurance. They say, I'm sorry, my insurance expired. Or my favorite one, here's my insurance card, and the police take down the insurance card, and then you go to check it, and it's expired 6 months ago. They didn't keep it up to date. It expired. Thank you. What do you do? You know that old Elton John song, What Do You Do When the Rain Sets In? Well, what do you do? Read the book. It's free. Okay, we're going to talk a lot with Dan right now about property. Good morning, Dan. Welcome to Bell and Pollock. Dan, are you with us?
It's Drew on property, yeah.
What can we do for you?
Okay, I've got some mountain property, unincorporated county, and in doing a survey, found out that a neighbor's chicken coop is about 2 feet over the line.
Okay.
We're good friends, work together and so forth, and to move that chicken coop would be an issue, physically, because there's a carport now attached to it. Question is, can I give him a revocable easement so that if anything occurs downstream, or he sells the property or I sell mine, we can then revoke that and return the property lines to...
Okay, that's a great question, and not only can you, but you should, because in subsequent property ownership, they may object to that. They may say it has to be moved. It violates the property line. And if you record a consensual easement, one would be the dominant tenement, the other one would be the serviette tenement. If you record and appropriately describe the property, then it's binding upon subsequent owners, because subsequent owners, once it's recorded, can't say that they didn't know about it, because we have in Colorado what's called a race notice statute. It's a bunch of legal talk. Race notice, meaning that if you record something in the clerk and recorder of the county where the property is located, then everybody's put on constructive notice whether they know about it or not. And then subsequent owners can then rely, or they can't challenge your friend's chicken coop over the property line. Am I making sense to you?
Yes, sir, absolutely. And that's a consensual easement. Is that what it's called?
Yeah, I did call it a consensual easement, but it's just basically a property easement. It's a document, probably a one-pager or two-pager, that says that this easement is granted, but it has to be specific so nobody can challenge it later. And it has to say, and it has to describe it legally, but it can be done fairly easily, and it should be done. Don't you think, Ryan?
Yes. So this is an express easement as opposed to an implied or prescriptive easement. Express easement, you get together and you actually write this down. Probably a good idea to find a property lawyer to help you out with writing that to make sure that it's going to comply.
But it can be done fairly easily. It can be done cheaply. It's not complicated, so no lawyers need to run up any fees on this. But it should properly describe the property, and they rely on the survey. So that's what you got to do.
Okay, outstanding. It's kind of what I thought, but... good hearing that from you. I'll get on that right away, and I thank you for your time, gentlemen.
You're welcome. Thank you for the call.
You bet.
We appreciate it. The Bell and Pollock Legal Show. I guarantee you this is the only show of its kind, okay? Just give us a call, 303-713-8255, 713-8255 in Steamboat Springs. Come on, 970-457-1009, and that radio station up there is powerful. It covers a lot of surrounding communities and areas. We're glad to have it in our repertoire. We're glad to have Steamboat Springs here. And sometimes I broadcast from Steamboat Springs, but today it's Denver. You can give us a call, 303-713-8255. If you're in an accident and you don't have any health insurance, can you get your treatment? Can you get your medical bills paid? How does that work? How does that work for you? What if you need back surgery and you have no health insurance? How does that work for you? We can solve those problems and answer your questions. We're going to talk a lot with Bob. Good morning, Bob. How are you?
Good morning. Thanks. How are you guys doing?
Good. What can we do for you, sir?
Well, listen, we're thinking of dropping my wife's insurance, which is several hundred dollars a month, and just going and putting her on Medicaid. And I'm thinking that if we do go that route, I thought that the law says that even though the state, and let's say that she were to pass away after years of being treated in a hospital, and I think that the law says, correct me if I'm wrong, that in Medicaid, that after the state pays for all of your services, that they can come back against any estate that you had to collect money for the medical services.
So you're basically, your question is, if you have Medicaid, your wife has Medicaid, and then maybe something kind of serious medical condition happens, right?
Right, and she passes away.
Right.
And then there's an estate that she leaves. Does the state have the long arm to reach over and take all of her estate money that she's left behind?
Okay, and
to pay for the medical services, you see.
Right, right. So what do you think, Ryan?
Well, Medicaid does have a right to estate recovery. Okay. In the federal law actually requires Medicaid to try and get some money back after someone passes. Now the issue though is that Medicaid isn't always, they have a lot of stuff to do and they aren't always as well staffed as they need to be. So I would recommend that you at least contact them, let them know what's going on, and you know, you could probably work with them to reduce the amount that they're going to request.
I see. Okay, good. Good. That answers the question. Very good.
I mean, I think the other thing is you have to plan on it. You have to say it's going to happen, and if it doesn't, fine, that, you know, that's better news. But they do have the rights of it's called subrogation. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's something that, I mean, you're a very intelligent question, because some people don't ask the question. Some people go down the road, and then it's too late. Okay.
That's right. That's the one thing I want to avoid.
Ryan's got one more thing.
And there are some exceptions, so you want to be very, very careful. If your wife would fit into one of these exceptions, then you may be able to escape it.
All right, so I tell you what, we don't have time, Bob, but if I'm going to put you on hold, if you give Kevin your information, we'll call you, give you the exceptions, so that you're not just wondering, because you asked us the question, and we're glad to do it. Is that okay with you?
Okay. Thanks a lot for your
You're welcome. I'm going to put you on hold. Kevin, take down Bob's information. We'll be glad to call you and talk to you off the air and solve and give you the exceptions and the general rules with regard to that. You're listening to the Bell and Pollack Legal Show. Gary Bell, Ryan Wengler, we're here for you. We are injury attorneys, ready to answer your questions on any subject. 303-713-8255. We'll be right back. Legal Show, the only show of its kind. We're here for you. Let's legal rock and roll this morning. Grab your legal coffee. Gary Bell, Ryan Wengler of the law firm of Bell and Pollack. We're here to talk to you on any subject. 303-713-8255. You know the drill. We're injury attorneys. We do this show for you, to help you. We've been doing it for years. We love doing it. And right now we're going to talk to Eileen about a consult with a lawyer after a wreck. Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. How are you this morning?
Fantastic. What can we do for you?
Car wreck on November 12th. The car is totaled.
Okay.
And my daughter was involved in the wreck, and her arm is just shattered. And she has not consulted with a lawyer, and I was just wondering how much time you have to do that.
I'll tell you what. We have all the time she needs, free, period. That's the way we do it.
Okay.
If she wanted to talk to us, we would meet with her. It usually takes 45 minutes to an hour and a half. That's free. Mm-hmm. We go over everything with her. We tell her what to do. We offer what we call our legal game plan, so people understand what the insurance company is going to try to do. And then when they leave our office, they know what to do, how to do it, what to say, what forms they should sign, what forms they shouldn't sign. And I could probably just talk all day on the subject, Eileen.
She signed a medical release from the other person's insurance.
She did or didn't?
She did.
Okay, so she couldn't run to an attorney fast enough right now, okay?
Yeah.
Because that's not what she should have done, and it can still be fixed, okay?
Right.
But that's why we offer our legal game plan, because what they do is they call you up and say, you know, I can't really adjust your claim, ma'am. Or sir, until you got to sign her paperwork. Well, that's not
right.
True.
Yeah.
And
it happened.
You know, the other thing, Eileen, is that we say this on our shows all the time, is that, you know, when you're in a wreck or you're in a crash and you're injured and she injured her arm, et cetera, for the insurance company that covers the at-fault party, the one that caused the wreck, that's an ordinary day for them. They do this for a living. Right. They're trained. It's not an ordinary day for your daughter.
That's right. Exactly.
Exactly. So
yeah.
Do you want us to, what would you like us to do?
Well, I would really like for her to talk to you. Where are you located?
Well, we got an office in Greenwood Village and one in Denver, okay? But our main office is in Denver. If I could just put you on hold, and if you give Kevin your information, we'll call up and make arrangements, okay?
Okay, that sounds good.
Is that okay?
Yes.
Ma'am, thank you very much for the call.
Thank you.
I'm going to put you on hold. Don't go
Alrighty.
Away. All right. Kevin, please take down our information. The Bell and Pollock Legal Show, we're here for you. Any legal subject, come on. 303-713-8255. We take all your calls in the order in which they've come. We're going to talk to Eugene right now. Good morning, Eugene from Pueblo. How are you?
Pretty good. How you doing?
Good. What can we do for you?
I got a question. I had a couple of trailers that I was renting out, and I was renting one to my niece, and I ended up going to prison for 18 months. And during 8 months when I was there, I ended up figuring out that she stole one of my trailers. I got out, and they're telling me there's nothing I can do.
Okay, so you own the trailer, sir?
Yes, I do.
And you did before you went to prison and then afterwards. I mean, there's no change in ownership, right?
Exactly.
So, okay, did she take and physically move it, or what happened?
No, she just ended up selling it. She ended up selling it for, I believe it was $5,000 and a 2002 car.
Wait a minute. Hold your horses here a second. Just a minute. You're on the title, right?
Yes, I am.
And she never was on the title?
No.
That right there said...
No, I went to the police, and the police said they would look into it, and they never have. I went to the title deed and got a copy and showed them that I got the original title, and they said there's nothing they could do.
Okay, tell you what, there's both a criminal action here and a civil action. Ryan, why don't you explain that to Eugene?
Sure. So since you have that title, that sale should not be enforceable. If you can find that trailer, you should be able to get it back. And the criminal aspect is it's theft. I mean, this is a big deal. I mean, it's worth a lot of money. I mean, this is a motor vehicle. Or a trailer that she's taking from.
So it's a double wide trailer, and I just put like $7,000 into it.
Well, it's probably felony theft, not a misdemeanor, obviously. But so the way this works is they say, well, there's nothing we can do. So number one, you don't give up. Perseverance, okay? You have rights. You only have property rights. Perseverance. Yeah. They say they're not interested in it. Probably, maybe, I don't know.
That's exactly what they
exactly. Well, okay. So you persevere with the DA, you persevere with the police, you persevere with the detectives, and you ask them. You might even show up on their doorstep. You ask them, "What is going on here? This was my property. Here's the proof." All right?
Yeah. They told me, and then they told me, they said, since it's already been sold over twice, there's no way I could even get the trailer back.
Well, now that may be true because a subsequent owner. You know, under Uniform Commercial Code talk in English language, there's a holder in due course, which means this: if a person buys the trailer without notice of any defect or the problem, then it may be true you don't get the trailer back, but you can try. Yeah. It depends on how many subsequent purchases there are, but also you can sue in court. You can sue your, would you say your niece?
Yes, it is.
Right, so you can go after her in civil court for the amount of the trailer. The other thing is the subsequent owner, they would still have to have something that looks to them like a valid title.
Yeah. See, and that's exactly, I got, and they, even the police looked at my signatures and they were like, yeah, there's no way. And then I showed them when I got out of prison and I showed them the dates and everything and showed them that I was in prison. And you know, he told me, yeah, that's criminal.
Well, it is criminal. It's forgery, period.
Yes, exactly.
It's forgery, it's theft, it's a felony. Bottom line, period, paragraph. We're done with that. Yes. But sometimes they just don't want to prosecute it. Sometimes they just, you got to persevere, Eugene, okay?
Okay.
And then
you
can probably sue your niece in either in small claims court or county court. And I tell you what, I'm going to put you on hold. We're going to have somebody call you and kind of walk you through the steps so that you understand specifically how to do it. And we'll handle it that way.
I really appreciate that.
Eugene, thank you for the call, sir.
Thank you.
All right, I'm going to put you on hold, give Kevin your information. The Bell and Pollock Legal Show. We're going to try to talk to Steve real quick. Hello, Steve. How are you doing?
Hi, Gary and Ryan. Good morning. Thank you for your show. My problem is my neighbor has put some downspouts off of his gutters over three and a half feet into my driveway. I think it's going to cause him more trouble than me in the long run, because it's on the west side, the upside of his house. So it's going to go under his house and erode his place. But anyway, I'm wondering if I don't say anything and it becomes a problem for me. If I wait and don't say anything, am I going to have to accept it because I live in Boulder County?
Okay, so you got a legal problem brewing. You need to say something about it. You need to object. You need to do it in writing, an email, a letter, a note. Whatever you do, we can help you on that. But the bottom line is, you got to do something about it. You cannot let it just sit there. Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
Now, Steve, I'm going to put you on hold. If you want some information, we'll call you and walk you through. But that's the general idea what you got to do. Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks for the call. The Bell and Pollock Legal Show, the only show of its kind. Today, Gary Bell, Ryan Wengler of the law firm of Bell and Pollock. We're here for you every week. Go to our website, championsofthepeople.com. It's an information-loaded website. Do you know what to do with the first conversation you have with the adjuster? Eileen, subject related to that today on the call. The first conversation, go to our website, championsofthepeople.com. There's a button you can hit, and it tells you everything about what you need to know about the first conversation with the adjuster. Do you know what to do if you've got a hit-and-run or somebody with no insurance? Get one of our books. Call Kevin right now or call our law firm, Bell and Pollock. We are giving you the information. We empower you because we are your champions of the people.